Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful and blessed to be with you this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool morning?
No, it's not cool. They say the temperature is 54. I'm doing fine.
Oh, well, that's even better. I have a little 52 and rain today, so going to be rainy. But, hey,
yes.
Nice. Going to be up to 61. Nice, nice, nice.
Yes,
wonderful.
Ma'am.
Nice, well, rainy, but rain is a cleanser. God sends the rain for a purpose and a reason, and I am
Amen.
Grateful for it because rain is a cleanser. Cleans us up, shakes us off, gets us ready to do what we need to do. So, Mother Valerie, we had a busy day yesterday. It was very busy day, but I am so grateful. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. There's nothing like the Stations of the Cross. And our pastor came forth with power yesterday. It was a great day. And I just want to shout out to the youth department table of life. Our children were exceptional. So I just am so excited. I'm grateful that I accepted the call to go into youth ministry, thanking God for all of our wonderful children and just for the pouring in that they are receiving from Pastor Michelle. I was speaking with her not too long ago. She and I are about to celebrate our 20th anniversary next year that we have been working together in children's ministry. It just totally floors me that, you know, some of the children that, you know, I was pouring into are now adults with families and marriages. And it's just, wow, is all I can say. You know, some of them are in their 30s and late 20s, and it's just amazing. You know, I look at my granddaughter. Also, you know, they were my children. Grandchildren, but they were children in children's ministry as well. And, you know, I'm looking at my oldest granddaughter who will be turning 24 next month.
Wow.
And to know that, you know, she is now almost 24. You know, she's been with me for a long time in children's ministry as well. So, and my baby girl, she's been with me since she was born in children's ministry as well as my grandson. So it's just amazing how God, you know, looking at Pastor Michelle's grandbaby, Kennedy, I remember when she was born, when she was still in her mother's womb. And it's
just,
that's just how long she and I have been together. So, shout out to Youth Director Michelle Washington, Pastor Michelle Washington. So let's get into our word this morning, Mother. It is a great word. We are continuing of Moses getting the children of Israel ready for
Amen.
Their journey into the new promised land. And he's reminding them, you know, of the commandments of God. He's given them a history lesson. And we as people of God, we need to understand our history lessons are important. We need to know who we are, where we come from, why we got into situations that we got into. You know, there are so many things that are going on in our world today. You know, just recently, Mother, over the weekend, there was an attack in Russia. You know,
what?
And of course, the Russians are not playing. You know, they are doing some pretty horrific things to the perpetrators. But, yeah, about 100, I believe, as of yesterday, it was about 120 people are dead from a terrorist attack in Russia. So it's just nuts all over this world. But everything that's happening, we already know that it's the things that God already told us would happen. There are already prophetic words on the things that are happening. All we have to do is stop, take a minute, and listen. Watch as well as pray is what we must be doing. So let's pray and let's get into our words, because
Amen.
It is so important to know it. Father God in heaven, we come before you this morning with hearts of adoration and humble, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us for any sins committed in thought, word, or deed before we go forth in your word, God. Remove any iniquities from us, God. Clean us, Lord God, with hyssop. Give us clean hearts and right spirits within us, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are strength and you are redeemer. You are our absolute in everything. And as we lift up this holy word this morning, Lord God, we thank you for your sacrifice of your only begotten Son, who we call Jesus. We ask you, Father God, in his name, to bless this word, to bless this radio ministry, Lord, that those that are seeking you will find you through the pages of your word as we read them. In Jesus' name, again, Lord God, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And we love you more than anything. In the name of the Master Savior, we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We say amen.
Amen.
And this morning, family, we are coming out of the book of Deuteronomy. We are continuing in our walk through the word of God in Deuteronomy. It's a reminder of the things that the children of Israel went through. It's a history lesson. It's a book of history that Moses is giving them so they will be prepared for the promised land. And so we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 11 through chapter 12. Then we will be in our psalm this morning. It's the 37th psalm, verses 18 through 22. Our proverb is Proverbs chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. And we are in Luke chapter 2. And wow. It is, Luke chapter 2 is powerful. And on yesterday when we talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they had their son and everybody was saying, well, his name should be Zacharias. But, and of course, Zacharias had lost his voice. He had lost his ability to speak because he had a moment of not believing God. He had a moment of deciding that he didn't believe in his old age he could be a father. But God had other plans. And whatever the plans that God has for us are the plans that will succeed. God is always in charge. And I believe that with my whole heart, that whatever God has for us is for us. Even when we make mistakes, God will fix it. He will fix it, and he will fix us because he loves us like that. He will make our crooked path straight when we trust and believe in him. And Zacharias had a moment and lost his voice until that baby was born. Now Elizabeth told the relatives, his name shall be John. And they're looking at her like she must be some kind of crazy. His name must be Zacharias. And then immediately when Zacharias wrote down, his name is John, his speech came back. And they were in amazement. And on the other side, Mary, young girl, 15, 16 years old, accepted what she was told. Just accepted and understood that something was happening. And when the angel Gabriel, he even gave his name, that his name was Gabriel. You know, he told her who he was. And when the child was born, in yesterday's word, it said, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. John had a calling. Mary had a calling. Elizabeth and Zacharias had calling. And we have calling. Moses had a huge calling. You know, God can use anyone. And, you know, you have many people say, well, he was a murderer. You know, he was a murderer, yes. He repented, too. Ran away. But when given an assignment by God, he took it. He took it. And he did what he was called to do. And now he knows, he already knows, I'm not going to make it in. But I'm going to get my people ready for them to go in. And as we go into the word, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statute. And that's our word for this morning, that we have to love God and we have to keep his statute. But it says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge. God has given us each a charge to keep his statute, a charge to keep his judgment, and a charge to keep his commandments always. It says, know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them. To this day, they have never been the same since that day. It says, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord, which he did. Therefore you shall keep every command which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give you, your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drink water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God. God wants our love. To love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods in little deeds, y'all, and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. And we know famine happens all the time. We in America have had famine. We've been blessed that God has mercy on us as a nation. The Dust Bowl of years past, and we've dealt with so much, and God is trying to get our attention now. They're having to cut down mother cherry trees that have baked Washington, D.C., and that are beautiful, but they have to shore up different parts of the bank near Washington. And so they're going to have to cut down about 150 cherry trees. And that's like, and you know, cherry blossoms in D.C. are a big tourist attraction. But they're going to have to cut down about 150 to shore up the shoreline in the Potomac. Everything is happening, and we need to listen. And it says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Catch that. You want to always talk about the blessing, but God is saying, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan toward the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the cherubim trees and Morah? For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. Chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispose serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and little g's and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, there's that word, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand. You and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. But as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God has given you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifice, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, which he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses. In one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates, whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, or your new wine, or your oil, of the firstborn of your herd or your flock, or any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offering or of the heave offering of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. Take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. In other words, you got to take care of your pastor. You got to take care of the one that is the senior pastor over the flock of God. They are the Levites of our house. You got to take care of them. And it says, when the Lord your God enlarges your borders as he has promised you, and you say, let me eat meat because you long to eat meat. You may eat as much meat as your heart desires. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you, just as I have commanded you. And you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires, just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. And you know what, Mother Valerie? I'll come back to this in just a minute, but I have something to say from this word this morning. You shall not eat it. You shall not pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it that it may go well with you and your children after you. When you do what is right in the sight of the Lord, only the holy things which you have in your vow offering, you shall take and go to the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall offer your burnt offering, the meat and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. And the blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall eat the meat. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. But every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. But they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. God has told us that we should not add to any of his word or take from it. And, you know, but this little section here, Mother Valerie, it says, when the Lord your God enlarges your borders, he has promised you, and you say, let me eat meat, because you long to eat meat. You may eat as much meat as your heart desires. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you, just as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires. And then it says, this verse 22 up to 25, I believe it says, just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it that it may go well with you and your children. And, you know, we have always been told that you can't eat the unclean meat. But right here, you know, we know in Leviticus it gave us a whole list of what you can't eat. But right here, it's as if God is saying, just as the gazelle and deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat. Only be sure it says you can eat them, but don't eat the blood. Is that what it said, or am I reading it wrong? Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie is not speaking right now. Hi. She has changed phones. Mother Valerie.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, did I read that right or not? I was laughing. I said you changed phones.
Amen. He said, be sure you do not eat blood, for the blood is the life. It said, be sure.
Yeah, but did it not say that in verse 22 it says, you know, because we get all caught up in dietary restrictions and that you can't eat this and that. But he says, just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood. So is it saying that they can eat the unclean meat as long as they don't eat the blood? Is that your understanding?
Amen. It says, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you not eat the blood. I've seen people have a steak with blood running. And God is telling us, yeah, people do not
Don't do this.
Don't do it.
That's right. Don't do it. No bloody meat. Because meat, the blood is the life force. You know, I want my steak rare. Uh-oh. I want it medium rare where all the blood is still gushing out. No, that is against God. But from understanding, but it is saying you can have, you know, venison, which is deer. You can have, you know, the deer meat. But you cannot eat the blood. You know, no blood sausages, no blood anything. It is an edit. That did not change. But I'm trying to say, you know, we have been told you can't have this, you can't have that, all the Leviticus words. But in Deuteronomy, as they're getting ready to go in, God is saying you can't eat unclean, the unclean meat, but you cannot eat the blood. So
I mean, it's very clear in the word.
It is. You know, but the word, again, you know, we go from, we want to pick and choose. But if you pick and choose, then there is an edit here that God has given in Deuteronomy that was not in Leviticus. So it is just, you know, that's why I tell folks, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. You know, and then as we go into Deuteronomy, some life lessons from chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, if you earnestly obey my commandments, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season. And Dr. Stanley tells us in his word, for those that are saying, why is she quoting Dr. Stanley? Because I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I will tell everybody, again, I'm not being paid by In Touch Ministries to hawk Dr. Stanley's Bible, but I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles I've ever had in my biblical arsenal. And you should have numerous Bibles in your biblical arsenal. You should have always have a King James. You know, you need a King James version. You need a new King James. You know, and I will tell you, there are some things that are in NIV and NLT that are, you know, kind of, they might change some of the words, so I usually stick to King James and New King James. And the only why I read New King James is because it makes it a little clearer for those that are new to the Word of God. But I personally read King James as well. But we need to have more than one Bible. You know, I have a chronological, I have a Greek and Hebrew translation. You know, I have, you know, the only one I don't have and I'm trying to get is a copy of the Ethiopian Bible, because I believe that it is probably as close to the original as we can get. But I have not seen it yet, but I will be looking. So if any of you know where I can find one, DM me on Twitter X and at under minister underscore B talks word. And as we go back to what Dr. Stanley says, our God provides for those who love him and who obey his commandments. In today's uncertain world, it's good to be in the hands of a loving God who knows what we need before we even ask him for it. Again, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. That's what God is asking of us. in Deuteronomy 11 and 16, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods. Most people do not simply wake up one day and decide to abandon God. Deception usually plays a large role, just as it did in Eden, just as it will at the end of time. Genesis 3:13, Matthew 24 and 5. We got to be careful. It's so easy to get caught up. It's easy to get caught up in what the world says, in what the world is doing. You know, how insidious politics has eased and creeped its way into the body of Christ to the point where we are allowing everything and saying anything because we say, well, the Lord said. But when you go to your Bible, the Lord didn't say that. It's something man said, and you took it and ran because that's what was preached to you, but you didn't open your Bible and read it for yourself. That's why Mother Valerie and I get up early in the morning and do what we do, because we need to know the word ourselves. We need to read it ourselves. We need to know the content of the word ourselves, the content and the context, because so many times the word of God is preached out of context. It's just willy-nilly thrown together to get a point that I want to make across. But when you read it word for word yourself, you get an understanding. And in Deuteronomy 12:4, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. We can't worship. Yes, I wear a cross around my neck, but I don't worship it. I don't worship the dead Jesus. I worship the risen Savior. That's who I worship, because he already conquered death. He's not on this little cross. This cross is a reminder that God loved me enough that he gave me his son to die for my sins. And every time I think about it, I want to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you did for me. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And all I can say is thank you for the sacrifice for me, that you loved me more than I could ever imagine. And, Lord, I want to love you back. As much as you love me, I want to love you, Lord. I want to give my heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit, even when I get tired. Whatever you call me to do, God, I will do it. Even if I have to do it by myself, I will. We got to move forward in the Lord and in his word. And he tells us. And Dr. Stanley says, all worship is not godly worship. Come on now. Calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And not all forms of worship fit that criteria. Yesterday, I was in my car listening to XM Radio, the Christian channel, and all of a sudden some rap music came on, and I was in the car with one of my young friends. You know, she's in her 30s, but she's one of my babies and my grandson, and this music came on, you know, the radio station, and it was some kind of rap, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to catch the words, but it was all jumbled up mess. And I looked at both of them, and I said, does this sound Christian to you? Does this sound like something that is godly to you? And to the one, both of them looked at me and said, no. And one said, that sounds like something that's played in the club. I said, I thought it was just me. But it was a mess. We got to be careful what we allow in our churches and what we allow our children to sing, what we allow our children to listen to. Everything that quote-unquote says is Christian music might not be. And that's why you need to listen to the lyrics. If you can't understand them, print them out and read. What are these people trying to say? Because this sounds like a whole lot of club mess. and we can't be taking the club into the church. We can't, if you're going to walk it out for Jesus. You can't take the club, walk it out, and put it in the church. I'm going to tell you, when you walk through them gates, that large one and that small one, you may be walking it out right down to the pits of hell. So we got to be very careful where we walk and how we walk. Deuteronomy 12 and 18, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. God wants a happy people who rejoice in all they do, not a dire company of saints who focus on all the evil in the world. Oneness with God produces peace and joy, not chaos and grumbling. Come on now, preach it. Dr. Stanley, I will always love that man, but that is the truth. We can't be hateful Christians, just hating everything, always grumbling and complaining about everybody else's business instead of minding our own. Always complaining about that big old plank in Sister Susie's eyes. I'm sorry, that speck in Sister Susie's eyes. But Sister Susie is not telling you about your plank as you criticize and vilify her. You need to check yourself. I can't talk about you, Mother Valerie. I need to only worry about me, Pastor Bridget, and what I'm doing. Am I doing right? Am I living right? Do I have some things I need to clean up and change? Yes, I do. So I can't be vilifying and talking about you when I need to be checking myself. And that is what God wants us to do, to love him and keep his charge, keep his statutes, keep his commandments. Do what thus says the Lord. And sometimes what you need to do is mind your own business. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, people of God. The word is good. And, you know, when that meat have blood, only you shall not eat the blood. It said you should pour it on the earth like it's water. He's telling you in the word over and over again. He's repeating it. You may only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. He repeats this over and over again. So if God is repeating something, it's worth hearing. You don't want you to
Amen.
Eat the blood like people do. Sometimes they get a steak, and they have their blood running. But God don't want you to do that. Cook the steak. Fully done. Psalms 37:18-22.
And also, Mother, I just have to say this one more time before you go to your word. Is the fact is that when you eat the blood, and I'm sure a lot of things that God gives us is for a reason of safety. You can get parasites. You can get diseases from blood that you eat. Raw blood, if that animal has a parasite, and you eating its blood, that parasite just went into you. Think that
through. Oh, my God.
Think about that rare steak. Go ahead, Mother. Take us to the ground.
It's
the
really,
word of
really
God.
Horrible. It's horrible. I mean, you really should listen up. He don't repeat it this
mm-hmm.
twice. That's horrible. Psalms 37:18-22. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They should not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metals, shall vanish. Into smoke, they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows, does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Proverbs 12:12-14. The wicked converts the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. Came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world shall be registered. This Caesar first took place while Quintus was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped up in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told him concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was completed, present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Thank God we do not have to do that anymore. Life lesson, Luke 2:10. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Angel told the shepherds not to fear, but to open their eyes and look for the wonderful good things that God was doing for them and for the whole world, something that would bring great joy to everyone. Life lessons. What are the characteristics of a godly man? Luke 2:1-20. Until he became engaged to Mary, Joseph's life probably resembled that of most other men in his hometown. No doubt he had business concerns, goals for the future, but nothing seriously interrupted his daily routine until Mary informed him that she was pregnant. Then he revealed his godly traits. While the news must have shocked him, he clearly felt troubled for her and her reputation. God saw the confusion building inside of Joseph, sent an angel to tell him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, who will save his people from their sins." From this point on, Joseph never doubted God's will in choosing him to watch over Mary and her son. He remained faithful, not only to his wife, but also to God. He showed courage by ignoring the ugly rumors swirling around town about Mary's pregnancy. He values God's plan above what others might think of him. He remained sensitive to the Holy Spirit, demonstrated by his acceptance of God's guidance. After the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to him, warning him of impending danger. Joseph immediately took Mary and Jesus to Egypt, where they found safety until the threat passed. See Matthew 2:13-15. Joseph, a humble man, honored God by obeying. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He obeyed his word. He remained consistent, content, and could be counted on to follow God regardless of the personal cost. How can you grow in your faith to become a godly individual? Start by committing yourself to constant daily walk with Christ. Attend a church where the word of God is proclaimed as the standard of life. Make an open commitment to God and to your loved ones that you will not abandon your devotion to Christ or to them. You gain a sense of godly responsibility when you stand up for what is right. A godly person is not easily swayed, but is filled with conviction, faith, and prayer. When Joseph had no one else to guide and comfort him, he turned to God and found the strength and love he needed to get through the most difficult circumstances. Will you make Joseph's spiritual commitment your own today? If you haven't, will you make Joseph's spiritual commitment your own today? God is a good God, and he's good all the time. There is nothing that God will not do when you become a child of God. He takes care of you. He's Father. He's Abba. He's your dad. You can go to him. I don't care how bad it is, and I don't care what you have done. You can go and talk with the Lord. Go to him in prayer. Tell him all about it. Go to the throne, and we always say, not the phone. Go to God. Tell him what's going on. And don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen to what people are saying, just like Joseph. He didn't listen to what the people were saying about Mary. See, no, he didn't even listen to that because people were gossiping about her pregnancy. No. He listened to what God told him to do, and he followed God. So God is really, really, and truly good. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor, and that's all I have for today.
Amen. That was a great word today. You know, I love it. We got to trust God. As the word you say, Mother, take it to the throne, not to the phone. You know, folks love to talk about, well, you know, such and such did this, that, and the other. You know, again, mind your business. And God will work everything else out for your good. And, you know, in today's prayer that we have, it's not helpless. Because when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And that's the 34th Psalm, which we read not too long ago. And that's coming out of ESV. And it says, God, my help. There is no one in all the earth who is like you. You have delivered me from every trouble I have ever known. Even now, as I face the challenges of my life, I know that you are with me. You haven't left me yet, and you've not going to now. Your faithful love shows up time and again, delivering me from darkness into light. Sometimes when the dark night seems too long to take, it isn't until the light has come that I can see that you were there all along. Even when I thought I had lost all hope, you haven't given up on me. So I won't give up on you. I know that no matter what comes, I am not helpless because you are on my side. You are my great deliverer. I will not fear the outcome. Surround me with your love once again, Lord. It is my comfort and the peace I so desperately need. What a word. And it just says, what help do you need today? We all need God. We all need to love our Lord and follow his precepts. We got to know who we belong to, and we belong to the Most High. He loves us. He gave his son for our sins because he loves us like that. And as we get ready to get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. this morning is this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And that was the 46th Psalm, verses, chapter 46, Psalm, verse 1. And I'm seeing if I have anything new today. That was actually yesterday's word. And that was the last I had. But I do know one thing, that God is in control. And he loves us more than we can imagine, more than we can ever hope or think. And I would like to say to Sister Carolyn, she has been so under the weather, so please keep our sister in Christ, because her words are beautiful. And God uses her in a mighty way for his glory. And so thanking God for you, Mother Valerie. Thanking God for all of you who listen live and listen later. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God keep his eyes shining upon you and give you peace, love, and joy as we stay at the table. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, we are in, Passion Week. I call it Holy Week. We are in that week that Jesus did some stuff. He cleaned out a temple of the thieves and the robbers. He came in on the back of as the word says in King James, on an ass and a coat, and clothes thrown over it, and clothes and palms thrown in the street, and the word, Hosanna, Hosanna, being screamed by the populace. So we all know that it's not going to last. And those that want to do dirt are going to be scheming and conniving to kill him. Because when he cleaned out the temple, Mother, I always say that, you know, when Jesus came and cleaned out that temple, that's what made him mad. Because that money was getting siphoned into some other places. You know, that money was being used in the pockets of others. And I just say that, you know, he came in and changed status quo. He changed, you know, if we were in today's time, he took away the books and the T-shirts and the everything else, the CDs and everything that's sold in the foyer of the church. He took clean the house and said, not today. This shall be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. We got to make it a house of prayer, and we got to remember that God is in charge, and he don't want much, Mother. He just wants our love. So thank you, Lord, for loving us, and I pray we love you back more. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother Valerie. What is it this morning? I do believe it is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Again, we thank you. We thank you, Mother. Mother Rita, we love you. We always love you. Thank you so much for wrapping us up. Mother, thank you. It's a wrap, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And don't forget your umbrellas if you live in our community.
It's raining. Amen. It's a
wrap. Love you.